summer's coming to an end, and we wanted to kind of slow down the podcast season and get a great episode out. And this episode was indeed great because it was so, it was a lot of self-reflection. It was a lot of practical advice. We sat this week with an incredible communications professional, Rania Yaniya, and she's just an industry powerhouse. So it was an absolute pleasure having her.
Yeah, she gave us a lot of gems, a lot of advice about looking inwards when it comes to even your career, which was something that I think everyone needs to hear. We talked about finding mentors and mentorship, which is something that is starting to really, the conversation is starting to increase within the region. And I think that's also another thing that's very important. But I'm really excited for you guys to hear this
episode. We don't want to spoil what's coming, but you're going to walk away with this episode with a lot of value. It's a very value-filled episode, I think. I felt it.
I loved it. And you guys are going to love it
too. She was amazing, and we hope you love it. This is Candid
with Hanin and Zahra.
We're back in the studio this week with the wonderful Rania Yaniya. We are so happy you're here with us this week. And we've been trying to get Rania on the podcast for the longest time.
She is a busy lady.
Yeah, she's a very busy lady. We've known Rania for years. I don't even know how many years we've known her for.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah, it makes me sound so old.
No! Well, I mean, we all are, right? In a way. But
I'm just the only one that has white hair.
Yeah, but it looks fabulous on you.
Fabulous.
You rock it so well. You actually make me want to have like white hair as well, because it's such a statement.
Yeah, if my hair, like gray hair, grew like that, I would have kept it the same.
She's wearing her black nail polish and her like biker boots. And like, she's got a look going on. Yeah. I like it.
But we're so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for taking time. One of the things we do with all our guests in the beginning is we ask them to tell us about themselves in 30 seconds.
Okay, so I can, first of all, thank you for having me.
Of course.
It's a pleasure. I've known you ladies for the longest time, and I can say that you two crack me up like no other. And the conversations we have, although I've met you through work, the conversations we have never been about work. It's always been real, which is why I enjoy talking to you so much, because it kind of brings us out of the bubble that we live in. Mm-hmm. And I love you both so much. And thank you for having me.
Of course.
So back to who I am. Obviously, my name is Rania. I'm a communications professional. That's how you guys met me. And I have been in Dubai for about 17 years. I'm a mom. I have a 16-year-old mini man, teenager.
I cannot believe he's 16.
Oh yeah, when I see him on her Instagram, I'm like, excuse me?
I forget that you even have a son, let alone a teenager.
I think I forget sometimes.
Wow, I'm knocking on wood. I'm knocking on wood.
Yeah, I mean, it's that whole situation is a thing but on its own. And I think he is my biggest lesson and the reason I am young at heart. I am also a person that enjoys sports a lot. I love learning things constantly. So I would call myself an eternal learner.
Oh, I like that.
And what else? I define myself by, some qualities that I'm very attached to. One of them is transparency, openness, and love.
You know what? This is exactly why I like asking this question, because this question tells you what people care the most about.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to hear someone say, these are the qualities that are dear to me.
Yeah.
And then these qualities are amazing. And obviously, because we know you, we know how open and loving you are. So it matches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's interesting you say that, because it took me a while to actually be able to articulate who I am. You know, I've been working in the communications industry for such a long time, and I've learned so much during that time. But I have to say the last 2 years have taught me more about myself than that lifetime. And the things that I've discovered about myself are probably these articulating these qualities or these values that I hold dear to my heart. So, yeah.
No, I really appreciate that. And you're right. It does bring, it shows what people focus on.
Yeah.
And everyone's so different, even though if they're in the same field or same, they're going through the same struggles. But that's so interesting. And I love that. And it is so you.
It is. Right? It is very Rania.
Yeah.
I kind of want to ask you about your journey. So you said you're a communications professional. Mm-hmm. What is a communications professional for anyone listening?
So just a bit of background. I studied journalism and I majored in PR back home in Lebanon. Never worked in that field when I was back home. I worked in everything else. I worked in retail, in education, in construction companies. And then when I came to Dubai, my communications journey started. That's when I started my PR career. Communications is basically, you know, the flow of, I think, the flow of humanity. It's how you just express yourself for yourself or and for someone else. So the field that I'm in is expressing someone else's message and making sure that it reaches the other side the way it's intended to. I truly believe that open communication makes the world tick, whether it's relationships, whether it's work, whether it's friendships, whether it's anything really. So aside from it being a profession, I believe in its power. What I do is basically press relations for brands. My specialty, as it had developed naturally, is luxury lifestyle. So I work with fashion, beauty, F&B, all sorts of really fun and amazing brands. And my role is to make sure that their messaging and their reputation is kept at, you know, optimum standard as per the brand. And that's pretty much what I do. I've worked in agencies and I held a couple of in-house positions, but I have to say that the last 10 years of my journey had been the most interesting. So yeah, anything particular you want to know?
Yeah, I kind of want to know what drew you to this field in the first place. Why did you decide this is what I'm going to study?
I love word. So I studied journalism for that purpose. But then back in the day, I'm not going to say how long that was. PR or public relations was this new field that really, it was the road less traveled at that point. And I studied in Lebanon. So for me, that was an interesting thing. And I've always loved people and I've always loved openness and I've always loved word. And as in like expressing yourself. So this is why I studied, I went into that major. And my opportunity came here in Dubai because back home, PR was, either you do political journalism, which I really didn't want to do, or you are mixed, or you're thought of as a promoter or a salesperson. So PR as a profession back then was not a profession. It wasn't understood. My own father didn't understand what PR what PR was. But when I came to Dubai, that I found my break, and I was very fortunate to meet my first mentor, mm-hmm. Who taught me everything I needed to know about the profession. And I found it super interesting because it had to do with telling a story. It had to do with working with people, creating a narrative, bringing things to life in a way that, in a way that's exciting. And that's why I continued my career. I could have shifted, but at that point I was finding it super interesting and super intriguing. So that's how I ended up building a 17-year career experience in this field.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, that's amazing.
I love that. That's so impressive.
Thank you.
I want to ask you a little bit about mentorship. So this is something that, you know, when you kind of read career guides online, it always tells you need to find a mentor. But mentorship in the Middle East is not talked about much.
No.
It's not a practice. Like, I remember when I was much younger and I wanted to go into this field, I was reading a guide on how to do it. And one of them was like, email the people you look up to the most in this industry and ask them to be your mentor. And like literally nobody replied because they don't, it's not a thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? So it's not, it's not a practice that's done here. So how did you, was this someone that, that was a boss of yours, or how did mentorship happen, and how important is mentorship to you?
I think it's super important. I think at the moment I find it flourishing. I think this, we're catching up in that sense, because there are quite a few mentorship programs that are being built or that are available for people, but in certain industries. I have to say that I was lucky. The person who I met and taught me everything I needed was my boss, was my direct boss. And she was patient enough and caring enough to help me understand what I was doing. And I was I learned very quickly. And that, and I felt the importance of mentorship when I actually changed jobs and she was no longer my boss. And that wasn't a long period of time. I worked with her for about a year. She remained a friend. But then when I moved into another job or company, there was no mentorship. I had to learn things by myself, and it was extremely hard, and I had to make my own mistakes, and I was dropped in situations where I literally had to find my way out of them. And I also think this is a very good way of learning. But it makes all the difference when you have someone guiding you through. And I see it through my team. So I refer to the last 10 years of my career because they also taught me how to be a mentor. I had the opportunity to work with amazing talents. I think it's extremely important because there are times when if you don't look at the talents in front of you and you don't identify them properly, you could lose them and you could just, they could go to waste. The person themselves wouldn't understand their talent, and the industry would lose someone who had a lot of potential. So I truly believe that mentorship is essential. It should be part of a career path. It needs to be a nurtured skill for people in, I would say, in positions of management. And it is something that you do as you go. I mean, that for me, this is how I don't do it consciously, but when I have a team, I just feel that the need to show them the way by doing things with them.
So
it's extremely important. And then it also depends on the receiver. You could mentor someone, and if that person is not willing and is not open, then it goes to waste. And this is when you identify if this person is made to be in a specific industry or a specific position. So I'm speaking from personal experience. So I think, as you said, Hanin, it would have made life a lot easier if in the early stages of my career I had someone throughout just hold me by the hand. That's a luxury, I think, and show me the way. But I think in this time and age, people hustle and people learn and you have resources everywhere. And I think it also is a matter of how driven you are to learn from someone or to find someone that you want to, that you look up to and you want to get your skills from.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah,
that makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's not easy approaching someone, even though now, like you said, mentorship is a lot more available and people are more open about it, but just getting that connection done and having that conversation of, hey, can you be my mentor? Because I feel like people are just so focused in their own careers and what they're doing. So how is it for someone that is looking for a mentor? So like what would you recommend that they do to find that mentor within their industry?
Yeah, if it's not naturally there.
Because like yours was naturally there because she was your boss. Mm. But for people that, like, for example, that work for themselves but still need some kind of guidance.
Or unsupportive boss. Like they have an unsupportive boss or like an unsupportive superior, and they need guidance, but it's not there naturally occurring.
I mean, this is actually an interesting topic because it also depends on your network and your circle. There are a lot of times that mentors, you know, the term mentorship is, it's it makes it sound like someone is ahead of you in their career, but I think you could learn from anyone around you. Like, I feel that although and although I say I mentor my team, there is a lot of I learn a lot of them on a daily basis. So the point of this, me saying this, is that a lot of the times you can talk to people who've been through it before you, who are not necessarily ahead of you in the career, and just ask them. I think openness is the idea, and this is why openness is one of my values, because when you are open about your struggles and your in the workplace and you talk to people about it, it's not I don't find that a disadvantage or a weakness. I find that super inspiring, because you want to learn, you want to get better. It all boils down to you being open to feedback as well, and asking the right questions, or asking people around you who you feel are have been through it. So sometimes you might not have a mentor across the that gives you everything across the board, but it's you being open to people around you and asking those questions, and it's your personal curiosity. If you don't have that one person who's going to hold your hand, that's how it happened for me. So I would look around me, and every day I learned something from someone. And this is why when someone asks me, who's your mentor, I could think of so many people on so many levels that aren't necessarily officially my mentor, but I've learned so much from.
Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a specific person that you turn to all the time.
Yeah.
It could be anyone from around the world that you can be inspired by their journey.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no one person that is going to give you all the answers.
Mm.
And there's no one person that is going to be able to, you know, shape your career or experience or skill set. Because you're unique in your own way, and you know their experience might not be yours, but and this is why I find that it's the person themselves that create these opportunities to learn.
Yeah.
When I talk about mentorship at the moment, and the fact that there are mentors in the region, and it's becoming a bit more of a practice. It started with you know, cluster of professionals getting together in a network situation, or women empowerment that want to help each other, or entrepreneurs that want to help each other. And this exchange of knowledge becomes mentorship naturally.
Yeah.
But if you were to, I mean, you said this, Hanin, if you were to find someone that you look up to, getting through to them,
it's impossible.
It's impossible. But that doesn't mean that you can't observe their journey and try to, you know,
extract
what you need from it. It's all about how willing you are.
Yeah.
The hustle is real.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
There's also a certain, like, I feel a certain secrecy about things, and a lot of people are not willing to share what they've learned, because they're like, oh, I've spent so many years putting together this knowledge, why would I just share it with someone? So there's also that mentality of I want to safeguard my knowledge and
which
resources.
Is a little unfortunate.
It is very unfortunate.
It doesn't take away from your success. It doesn't take away anything from you.
No.
If
absolutely.
Anything, I feel like it's such good karma. Why wouldn't you put it out there?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not someone who, to be honest, I find it, as you said, a little bit strange when someone hoards that knowledge, because what point is it if you're not going to pass it on, because you're actually moving on.
Yeah.
But this comes from my mentality that whatever I learn, I pass on, and I learn more, and I move more, because I'm busy looking at how can I do this better, and how am I going to get there, and I've acquired this amount of knowledge, and someone needs it, so let them have it. It's not going to take away from the years that you've spent and the quality of the work you're putting out. They still have to get through their journey.
Yeah.
You're giving them a small shortcut. It's fine.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the work has to be done, or So you're not really...
They're not going to replace you, which I think that's the fear of a lot of people.
But actually, that's, for me, in a setting of work, the ultimate objective is for people who work with you to grow as you grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the ultimate objective is for them to replace you as you replace someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that ladder, if you're talking about the corporate world.
But that's a healthy corporate world, right?
Because
there's
the thing.
A ceiling as well, yeah, where you're so scared of losing because you have nowhere else to progress.
Mm.
So why would I help someone progress and take my space when I have nowhere else to go?
I mean, it's a legitimate fear, and it's a fear for a lot of people. Yeah. And this is basically what you're describing. It's so funny because for me it's never been a thought that I'm never scared of giving someone enough knowledge that they can replace me. I cheer them up for their capacity, and if they're able to replace me and be better, I'm not very possessive about. I mean, I love to be in a position that I've worked hard for.
Mm.
But I'm not. I totally understand how people could fear losing their position. But for me, it's never been a fear. I'm just talking about myself. It's never been a fear. It's never been a thought when I work with my team at all.
I think it goes back to insecurity. If you're secure in what you know and you're good at what you do, then you shouldn't have that fear that someone's going to take your job.
Yeah.
Because sure, let's say that, like you said, there's that ceiling. If that person comes and takes over your job, that means you clearly weren't doing as well as you're supposed to. But you will find, because that you have that confidence in yourself and your work, that you're able to perform. So I think it also goes back to that insecurity, that why would you think someone's going to take your job if you're not so secure about your own...
I mean, this is an ideal. We're talking about an ideal scenario, but the human mind is complex. We all have our insecurities.
Oh, no, I say this with all the insecurities and self-doubts. Trust me,
we all have those moments of doubt. You know, like I say this, but I'm not. I'm not oblivious to these insecurities and thoughts sometimes that cross your mind and saying, "Am I doing well enough, or should I be doing this better, or how am I going to do this better, or how am I going to continue to perform, my whatever job in the way people are used to it, or even better?" Those things are there, but if you use them to fuel you to learn more, then it's a healthy way. But if you use them to, they could go either way. They could put you in a position where you are so closed. And it beats the purpose. Instead of being so open and sharing that knowledge, but also getting knowledge. I feel openness brings openness.
Yeah.
And, when you're closed and insecure, it kind of...
Same attracts same. Kind of
exactly.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Yeah,
but for me, this is how I see it. Everything in life happens for a reason. Again, and things take turns.
Yeah.
The way you never expect them to. When you get to a point where you're at a position and you're in competition, you either are passionate enough about it to fight for it,
mm-hmm.
by improving yourself, or someone else who's doing the job better will take it. It's a fact of life. I mean, I wouldn't complicate it in my mind so much, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I don't occupy myself with that. I just do my thing.
Yeah.
And if there's something for me to learn to do things better, then I'll do it.
Yeah.
It's cause and effect. For me, it's cause and effect.
Yeah, and it's about always learning. Mm. We should never stop learning, right? Yeah.
If you do stop learning in a specific area, it means you've lost interest. And,
yes.
And it's probably better if you kind of move away or move on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a better flow of things when you think about it.
Yeah.
So you... obviously are very successful in your industry and what you do.
Yeah.
That's why you're on the podcast. But how do you balance it all? Because being someone in your position, you also have a teenager, and we've spoken about this before personally, me and you, about like career burnout and stuff. So how do you balance? Do you have the balance, or are you working on it, or like, tell us that journey? Because I think that's one of the things when it comes to careers, we're always trying to find that
balance
mm-hmm. that is like the unicorn,
Yeah. It is a unicorn. It's just it's a constant effort. It's a combination of things. It is the choice you make in terms of a career. It is having support around you that allow that, you know, that kind of support allows you to progress in your career in a way that, you know, you're not burning out. And circumstances, I have to say. So for me, I had a very supportive partner who was hands-on with bringing up our son. And I have to say that a big chunk of my capacity to work in the world of PR in luxury, which demands a lot of social life, a lot of it takes away from your personal life from the point of view of it is demanding on your social life. You travel a lot. There's a, you know, and as you grow, the responsibilities and the demands on that grow. So having a support is 100% one of the main reasons you are able to move on and actually follow your career. The second thing is you need to have the drive and the passion for it. You need to want to balance it. For me, I really wanted to balance the two. And it was never, like, sometimes you feel that one is tipping and it's never going to be at the same level all the time. But as long as you're aware of the time you're spending here and the time you're spending there and you're investing in both, I think you can find some sort of a balance. But that's not to say that if you can't find the balance, that's a bad thing. Some people just, there are people who are able to do it, and it depends on their mindset. And there are people who are oriented towards one thing or the other. Mm. I came with the mentality thinking that I'm a career-oriented person, but then when I had a family, when I started having a family and a son, I was all about family. And for me, it was this shift in my head that although I'm 200% in my career, I wanted to also be 200% for my family. And it just, you choose your heart. But basically, that's what I'm trying to say. You choose your heart. You wanna focus solely on career, you're gonna lose something in the family. It just has, you know, you just put out in front of you the important things to you and just kind of craft your way around it. And realistically speaking, my day would start at 6 a.m., 5 a.m. at some points. And it's constant, you know, and part of that is also taking care of yourself. So I have always allowed myself some time for me, and that me time has always been working out, being healthy, looking after myself. I have to say my social life struggled because of that. If you know, that's in complete transparency, throughout my career my personal social life struggled because I had no time for it.
Yeah.
And it always felt like, and it dawned on me when I needed support, I felt isolated. But then the minute you open up again and you say what you need, you find that there are people around you that
they just come.
Yeah. They are willing if you just say the word. And these are friends that are now closer than family to me, that kind of jumped into my life when I looked around and I was like, oh my God, I have not invested in you know, a personal life. So that for me was the journey. So now, after COVID, I have to say COVID was that turning point where everything, I had to reassess everything. It kind of forced you to reassess everything because you step away from the race, and you have to, it made you really think of what's important. And it made me realize that I've burnt myself on both ends, and something has got to give. And that's why I stepped away and I started thinking. And that's when I realized what my values are. I realized what I want for myself moving on. I realized that I don't want to burn myself again. There are careers that do that to you. Do you want to remain in this career? It's your choice, really. It's about the choices you make at the end of the day. And being very clear about your values. So if you are someone who values freedom, family, and financial security, then anything you do in life has to have these three. It ticks all mm-hmm. three boxes. And when I realized that my previous life did not tick one of the values, my values, which is family and friends, as in like spending quality time with them, it started making you feel the burnout more. You kind of feel that something is missing. So it's very important to kind of take a step back and decide what's important to you, and then go out and make sure that anything you choose ticks those three boxes. And that's how you find the balance.
Yeah.
And be brutal about it. You're going to have probably 10 things that you want, and then you're going to have to break it down into five, and then go back again and say, okay, so what are my three top? Because not, you know, no career is going to give you everything, mm-hmm. but in this time and age, you can actually make it your own. Like, you make things, we have all the means to make things work for us.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. That's a very balanced approach, because I think it's very realistic to say that if you're going to focus on one thing, the other thing is going to take a backseat for a while.
Yeah, there's always going to be yeah. some sort of sacrifice.
And like
yeah.
she said, you have to prioritize what's mm-hmm. important to you. So is it your health? Is it your career? Family, friends, personal? What is it?
Mm.
What is the one that is going to take the main priority, and then what's going
to... And the important thing to remember is that it's not forever. Like, there yeah. will be a time when family is going to take the lead.
Yeah.
And there will be a time when career takes the lead. Mm. And there will be a time when you want your free time. Yeah. And that takes the lead. So your priorities change throughout your life.
Yeah.
And throughout, as you progress. There was at one point in my life where career and work were number one. Then the family came along, and I was like, okay, this is my number one. I do everything for the family.
Yeah.
So that was my drive. And at this point in my life, it's health, well-being, fulfillment, happiness. So that's now the most important priority mm. for me. And it shuffles.
Yeah.
At some point later, I might think I want to go back to career.
Yeah.
So it's not...
It's not permanent.
It's not yeah. permanent is what I'm trying to say. Thank you.
It's about being flexible as yeah. well. And, like,
and not setting yourself in a box and thinking mm-hmm. this is it. We change every day.
Because it's your life cycle too. And I see it a lot with, you know, some of my friends who have children, is they think, oh my God, that's it. I'm going to be a mom, and it's driving me crazy. And what about my career? But I was this, but I was that. And what you're saying is so true, because you're not going to be stuck with a newborn forever.
Yeah,
at some
it's temporary.
Point.
That's
exactly.
You have to remember. Everything you go through in life is temporary, whether it's good and bad. And I know it's a cliche, but this is the reality of
yeah.
it. Everything you go, it has a time limit. It's going to change. So just go with it. And, I guess just keep that in mind, that things will change, and be okay with it. It's you change
yeah.
your priority, and don't be too hard on yourself. You thought yourself, and I went through this when I was reassessing myself. I was like, I thought I was a career person, and what happened to that person? And I thought I wanted this and I wanted that. And now that I have them, I don't want them anymore. I want this. I want family. I want friends. I want free time. I want to, and I freaked out for a bit, because it shook my image of myself. But then I realized that I'm all these people, and now this is my priority, and at some point in my life that's going to change too, and I'm going to probably jump back to something else.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
But doing that, going through that change, is not easy.
No.
If you've like put in your head where like, yeah, I'm a career woman, and then suddenly you're like, oh no, I need to change. How do you do that? Like,
it's not you need to change. Mm. Something within you
Just clicks
because, I'm going to go back to the shift. These shifts happen within you at different parts in your life, because, priorities change based on your circumstances. Mm. So when it changes, it's not about how you navigate the change. It's about accepting the change.
Because
the less you accept the change and you try to hold on to what you thought you were, the more miserable you're going to be.
Yeah.
And the more likely you're going to burn out, because you're not doing something from the heart. It's not coming from within anymore.
Mm.
It's not natural. So I'm going to give you the example of my career. In the beginning, I had all the energy in the world to have the late nights, to have the travel, to do this, to do that. And at some point, I couldn't do that anymore. I just could not find it in me to do it anymore. And I needed something else. Something else was taking my attention. And it was an internal struggle that I want to spend time doing this, but I'm stuck with this. And this was the hard part, recognizing that your priorities have changed and allowing yourself to move along with it without feeling that you've given up on yourself or you've given up on your what you thought you were, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's all a personal battle within you. And you start thinking, and it's so funny because I had this conversation with my son when I left my job, my last job. I would say I was at a peak, and I was getting to a place that I worked really hard to work to get to. And when it was about to be realized, I decided that I didn't want it at the moment in my life. And I left my job, and there was this conversation with my teenager about pride. And I asked him, what makes you proud of me? And he said a number of things, and one of them was, you're hardworking, you do everything with, you know, 100, you give everything 100%. And in my mind, a person who thought is a career person, I asked him, so if I don't work anymore, would you still be proud of me? And he looked at me and was like, Mom, what are you talking about? Of course I'm going to be proud of you. I was just saying that anything you do with love and 100%. It's not work that defines you. Mm. You still are a mom 100%. You still are a friend 100%. And that was such an eye-opener to me. And it made me realize that I'm applying so much pressure on myself to be a person that I'm no longer, just because I, you know, I'm stuck. Mm. It's a mindset.
Mm. Yeah. So wow. Mm. Yeah. Sometimes you need that aha moment.
Yeah.
It could either be you figure it out yourself, or you have your teenage son being so wise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that boy, I don't know.
Maybe we should have him on the podcast. He seems like he has a lot of like good wisdom.
He does. Share. He does. Honestly, he's my, you know, I guess he's the
rock.
I wouldn't put that on
still
him.
Still a teenager.
Yeah. He's still a teenager, but what I would say is he's grown into such a mature young man. That makes me proud every single day. And as I said, I learned from him. The experience of bringing him up has taught me a lot more than I could ever imagine. If you think that when you're bringing up your kids, you're giving them something, they're actually giving you tenfolds. Because you grow as a human, and that example for me applies to career. When you're growing someone, you grow with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't know if that comes from my nurturing side, because I'm naturally nurturing. And my relationship with my son had made me realize that I learned from him a lot more than I'm teaching him. Mm. So yeah, what I'm trying to say is I'm super proud of the human that I can call my son. Yeah.
And you should be.
You should be. It's also a testament to you. You raised him, so...
And you raise them in, again, openness. It's a very open way. It's not the same, like, I am your parent, so I know better than you in every single way, and you shall obey my every single order. It's a very archaic way of raising up kids. So I raise my hat to you for, giving your son a space to be himself and talk and give you advice and telling him, I'm Rania, I know everything, you must obey
there's
me.
There's a time and a place for all these phases. Yeah. Obviously, when he was younger, he needed that kind of guidance.
Yeah.
They need, you know how it is. Like, there's every parent will tell you that there's a space and time for you to have the discipline there. And despite the fact that you grow into friends until a certain age, you still need to be that discipline because it's their safety.
Yeah.
But as he grew, obviously he's learning. And the conversation, for me, number one rule in the house is you can say whatever you want to say, anything on your mind, as long as you're respectful. So there is no topic that's taboo.
Yeah.
Nothing. And the kind of questions I've gotten for that are interesting. We're going to keep it for off the air. But openness was the number one thing for me, and conversation and the ability to talk about anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most important things that I learned is it's okay to show your kids your humanness, because we look at our parents and a lot of our insecurities and our issues are because we look at that our parents as superhumans and that they're perfect and they shouldn't make any mistakes and we're so harsh on judging them. But if you just turn around and look at them as humans to begin with, you'd realize that they're doing their best.
Yeah.
And it kind of changes the dynamics and it kind of saves you a lot of, let's say, baggage and issues as you grow. So my number one was to show him that I'm a human. So if I show him any emotions and I'm upset or I'm having a bad day, I don't hide it from him.
Yeah.
I just tell him I'm having a bad day. And if he sees me cry or have a meltdown or whatever, I tell him this is how I'm dealing with the situation. I need, you know, it's fine. It's human. It's okay for me to be sad. You're going to probably be sad one day and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, allow them to see your humanness and your, you know, your.
Yeah, it's so important.
Yeah.
It really, you need to show that this is life.
Mm.
These things happen and you have to be, being vulnerable is such a superpower, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I look at parents and I see how much pressure they've applied on themselves to be strong for us. I mean, it's important. I'm not saying, you know, have a meltdown every now. Of course, it's important to be the strong figure, but I'm saying there are moments in life when you should, when it's okay to show your kids vulnerability because they really don't do what you tell them to do. It's observing your behavior that teaches them a lot. You can say one thing and do the other.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be actually listening to what you said. They're going to be doing what you did.
Exactly.
So
that's such great advice.
Kids.
Yeah. So before we go, what's next for you?
Speaking of the future.
Yes.
Speaking of the future. So I'm about to start a new journey. That's I'm shifting a little bit from the world of luxury and lifestyle. It's still lifestyle. It's just more social. So I'm kind of trying something new and something with a bit that aligns a bit more with my, you know, with my values. So I needed something that speaks to me at this point in time. So I'm starting a new job role. Next week, and I'm really excited to see how that's going to go for me. I'm just starting to prepare for my teen. I mean, it does take mental readiness to look at your son or daughter or kids and realize that they're humans and they're going to be on their own. So that's, I'm looking at how and where his future is going to take him and watching him kind of decide his life. I think I'm just excited to see what the future is going to hold for me. It feels like a fresh beginning. And I'm going to take full advantage of it.
Amazing.
I'm just going to be more aware of what I really want. And I'm just going to have my values right there.
And it has to align with your values.
Yes, it has to align with my values.
I think this is a good exercise for all of us to do, you know, with a new year coming around very soon. Is to write down your values and kind of make that your reference for any decision you make. Does it or does it not align?
Yeah.
I mean, the ultimate is for us to be happy humans.
Yes.
And sometimes we forget that it takes a bit of work.
Yeah.
And it's from within.
Yeah.
So you need to make it, you know, your mission is the most important thing for yourself to try and find out what makes you happy and just go and do it.
I love that. Just go get it.
Go do it.
Get your happiness.
I'm going to go do it right now. But thank you so much, Rania, for being here.
It's a pleasure.
It was so wonderful hearing
your
story.
There's so much I still want to ask her, we're going to season two.
Yeah, we're going to have to bring you back. But I appreciate your openness. And I think that's something I'm definitely going to take into 2022 for me.
That's amazing.
So thank you so much,
Rania. Thank you, Rania.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
Of course.